Yes, yes, yes. What's up, people? What's up? What's up? What's going on? This is MC Till with the Boom Bap Chat, number 113. Excited to be here tonight. Before we get into the co-host that you see, if you're watching, I do want to let y'all know that you've got to hit up everybody's records here in Cincinnati. If you're in Cincinnati, they have a great selection, tapes, vinyl, books, CDs, all kinds of great stuff. So make sure you check that out. Also, I want to let y'all know that our book, The Boom Bap Review, this is our first one right here, came out 2019. We're up to volume four. Volume four drops next Friday, a week from tomorrow. And you can get it for just $13 pre-order at boombapreview.com, but only until the 21st. So you have like just a few more days. So make sure you pre-order it at that special low price, boombapreview.com. All right, in the room with me, as always, we have, oh, he's back. He's back from being the MVP coach, youth coach of the year, Mr. Profound. Oh, what's up, Profound?
What up, Till? What up, Io?
It's good to have you back.
What up,
bro? Man. Profound, how'd your kids' team do, man? How's the season?
We were okay this year, man. We were okay, man. You know, we got off to a slow start, and then you know we picked up traction towards the end of the season, made it into the playoffs, and then we got ousted the first round. But it's cool though because we'll be back. What up, Marcus?
Yes.
What's
happening? Iomas Marad is here. What's up, Iomas?
Peace, bro. Delay, but it was peace. Marcus, what's good, bro? What's up with y'all, man?
Yeah, man. It's good to have you both here. And it's good to have our guest tonight. I think you all, if you don't know him, if you haven't seen him around on your social media feed, I think you're really going to like our guest tonight and getting to know him. He's just a dope dude, and he's an MC. He uplifts the queens. He encourages the kings. He shines light to all who will give his music a listen, and we're going to get to know him a little bit tonight. We're going to explore his new album, For the Soul, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a big, warm welcome to the Boom Bap Chat, the one and only Jorai.
What up, y'all? What up?
What up, man? Welcome to the show.
Man, thank you. Happy to be here. It's an honor.
Man, really glad to have you, and really appreciate just, you know, watching you, I don't know for how long, but just kind of watching how you move on social media and like just the positivity that you put off and just the way that, you know, we've interacted through like private messages and stuff. Yeah. It's just like, man, this is a good dude and about the right things, you know, just so, yeah, just really appreciate what you do and how you do it, you know?
Man, I appreciate you. I appreciate y'all, man. This is an honor.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So if you're listening, if you're watching on YouTube or if you're watching on Facebook, we are going to be trying to get a lot of comments and questions in here. And Jorai has answers. He's got jewels. And so we'll get into that later. That's right. So if you got anything to say, you know, ask your questions or whatever. Marcus already said, what up? Welcome back, Profound, Brother Profound. Appreciate that, Marcus. And we also have my man, Kaz Mehta.
Yes, sir.
Jorai got spit.
What up, Kaz?
Yes.
What up, Kaz?
Does. And already Brian Williams says Jorai is dope.
Yeah, that's my brother right there.
So off the bat, man, people are bigging you up. So that's dope.
Man, thank you.
So let's start with the name, man. Mm-hmm. What is that? Mm-hmm. Your God-given name, did you take that on as an MC? Where'd that name come from and what does it mean?
I took that on as an MC. So Jorai is Hebrew for he whom Jehovah teaches. I kind of try to implement my relationship with God and stuff in a lot of my music. Mm. That's why you get a lot of the positivity and a little bit of the jewels, as we say.
Yeah. That's dope. I love spirituality in hip-hop. I feel like that is, I mean, from my understanding, it's embedded in hip hop from the very beginning, you know?
Right.
Is that something that like has been with you? Like, did you grow up in that? Or like, did you, you know, kind of fall into spirituality later on in life?
No, I grew up into it. My grandfather had a gospel group back in the day. He was a part of the Gospel Gates. I don't know if y'all familiar with the Gospel Gates from back in the day. He was a part of that group, and my father had a gospel group, and he was an elder. So I kind of grew up in that. So I recognized early on when I started to make music that it was just the first thing, especially with hip hop, it's important to be yourself.
You know what I mean?
So I kind of implement the spirituality and my relationship with God in a lot of my songs because it's just a part of who I am. And so hip hop just gave me the free reign to kind of do that because I heard a lot of other people doing it. So I was like, oh, this is cool.
Do you ever get pushback? Like people are like, I don't want to hear that, you know, religious, that God talk. Do you ever get that pushback or not really?
Not about the music. I get that pushback in conversation sometimes, but not in the songs. In the songs. Because I think the songs that I do, it's not really the brand of hip hop that I like to call my music is true life hip hop, right? So it's based on my true life. So a lot of the conversations and the interactions that I have with people, they know that, oh, this is really, it's relatable. This is you talking about things that you really go through and other people can relate to it. So I ain't got too much of a pushback in the music.
Okay, dope. Yeah. I like that. That's great. You know, I mentioned your the way you move on social media. I really appreciate and respect. Tell me about your relationship with social media. Do you enjoy, you know, posting, commenting, and interacting with people? Like, do you enjoy that, or does it like frustrate you? And
I enjoy the interaction with people. Yeah. I hate posting on social media.
Oh yeah.
It's just it takes so much because the way that people approach it, they make it seem like it's so easy. You just post whatever, but I really try to think about what I'm posting. So it takes a lot of time. And I'm like, man, I don't wanna think this hard about a post. You know what I mean? I'd rather think this hard about something else.
Right.
But I like the interactions with people because I'm a people person. So I like the interactions with people. That part of social media I really, really enjoy. But sometimes it's like, man, I gotta post this today. What if I don't feel like it?
Right. Yeah. So you like the back and forth,
right?
Getting to know someone and engaging with them, but not necessarily like producing the content on social media.
I think I can't remember the artist that came. It was an album about a year or so ago, and the album was it was a hip hop album. I'm blanking for the name of the person, but he was like, "Rappers are not content creators." I think that was like the title of the album or something.
Huh,
and I was like, man, I said that's how I feel. Social media is a thing within itself, creating content. And so I would rather focus my mental space on my art.
Yeah.
But then you got to create the content for the art. But I got a lot of help. So I got a lot of people that come alongside me and make sure, you know what I mean, that they'll post or they'll share and things like that. So it's a little bit lighter of a load.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's always good to have people helping.
I'm trying to keep up with you, Till. You post all the time.
I try, man. I don't have that problem. Like if I think of something like, oh, I'm gonna post that real quick, you know, or just like take a picture of the album I'm listening to. I like it. I like both. I like engaging with people and I also like just setting it off and like, yo, what do you think about this? You know, and getting people talking. So I enjoy it. I think you got to do what you got to do. You know, like whatever you have the bandwidth to do and whatever, you know, resonates with you. So, and Iomas Murad, who's having some mic trouble, said you got to have a tight team behind you.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's very true. Very true. Iomas. I definitely have a tight team behind me for sure. So, talking about facts, profound set of facts. Speaking of social media, what has been on my feed from like last Friday till now has been this new Nas album and all this talk about Nas, people loving it, people hating it, all in between. And I find it all fascinating. I'm curious to know if you heard the new Nas album and did it resonate with you? What'd you think about it?
Man, I loved it. Yeah. I loved it. I love Nas. Nas is my favorite. He's in my top five. He's really in my top two MCs. So I love the album. I love the growth. I know a lot of people give him some flack for working with Hit-Boy, but I like their combination.
Yeah.
So I love the album. Now always coming with something different.
You mentioned he's in your top two. Who's the other person?
Andre 3000. Three stacks is number one, and then Nas is number two.
Who else?
Nas puts out more music, so it's kind of
Who else do you would you have up there as a contender?
All right, so my favorites are Andre 3000, Nas, Black Thought, Fonte from Lil Brother, and Common.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
dope.
Good. That's super dope. Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. Yeah. I really like the new Nas album as well. And I love that, you know, he's what 30 plus years in this, and he's putting out music and getting everyone to talk about it, you know, and people are loving it. So I love that longevity. So
yeah. And he sounds happy. Like he sounds like he's really enjoying what he's doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it sounds more pop, like even the vibe of this album to me, not just what in his words, but like the feel of the beats sound a little happier and more free.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Do you feel that too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He comes in like it's not as dark as a couple of the previous albums. He would have had a couple songs that were a little bit more happy, but this sounds like I'm enjoying life, but I'm also reflective of where I've come from.
Yeah.
But not in a negative way.
Yeah.
So he's talking about the things he's been through, what he's coming from, but he's speaking about it from a person who came out of it and was successful. So it's a good feel.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. All right, I want to ask you about let's go ahead and bring in my man Marcus, who said 21 Savage is an idiot saying Nas isn't relevant. Now, I mean, I don't know 21 Savage's music. I just know he's important to a lot of people. Like I observe that. I know people like him and he's meaningful to people. And I think that's something. And I don't know the context of like he was in Clubhouse having a long conversation. I don't know the context. So, but yeah, I mean, if that was the context that he truly said he's irrelevant, that's just not true. Nas is very relevant. You know, Nas is probably more relevant than 21 Savage, you know, to more people, you know, around the globe, you know, but whatever. Profound. Almas, any Nas thoughts or thoughts on spirituality and hip hop or social media, anything we've been talking about?
For me, man, I think, you know, we right on track today, because my question to brother today is like kind of in that realm of what we see today. To me, man, it's just we're in a time where people are blatantly dismissive of things that you should dismissive about. Mm-hmm. You can be dismissive about Nas. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you do anything, it's like, you know, dismissive to the legends before him. Like, come on, man. Like, it's just too much of that today. It's just too much of that today. Yeah. And like we were talking about earlier, instead of people just do what you do. You know what I'm saying? Well, I like the album. Track wise, I wasn't excited about every single track, but I was excited to hear Nas on every single song, though. You know what I mean? Right. Some of the tracks I wouldn't have picked, but the content was still what I expected it to be.
Yeah.
And it was dope. What else can you say?
Yeah, for sure. And the bad, I don't know if y'all know the Bad Seed, but he's an MC that's been around for a minute out of New York. And he had a take on it. And he was basically saying like this new Nas album and the resurgence of like King's Disease is kind of like the San Francisco 49ers, in that like they're like a classic football team. And a lot of people that like remember like Jerry Rice and, you know, the quarterback and all that, like they remember like that classic Super Bowl winning team. And that's kind of what comes to mind. And it'd be almost be like if San Francisco went back to the Super Bowl now, like people would just be really excited. And that's kind of what he was saying about Nas. Like Nas had that, like that classic era, you know, Illmatic, and it was just so dope. And then like a lot of people, you know, feel like he fell off or put out albums that weren't as good. And now they're just excited that he's back again at a level that, you know, people are recognizing and celebrating, and they're just excited about that. And the other thing he was talking about, I want to get your thoughts on, Jirai, is that he was saying how, like, that's cool and all, but what I'm focused on, and this is bad, see, I'm paraphrasing him, but what I'm focused on is, like, the underground artist that doesn't have, you know, that mainstream success. And I get and Bad C was saying that he gets excited about helping those artists, you know, get more attention. And so I'm just curious to know, you know, kind of what you think about that. And, like, do you, you know, when you think about, like, what you post about or what you talk about, like, do you think about, like, that artist is already successful, I don't need to pay him no mind, I'm going to focus more on the little guy, the underground. Or do you just, like, listen to what's dope, you know?
Man, I listen to what's dope, and I try to post about what I like, because on social media is so much commentary on what you don't like.
Right.
And so I post about what I like. The thing with the whole 21 Savage commentary is, like, just me personally, I don't feel like the word relevant should be used in hip hop the way it's being used, because what's relevant to one person might not be relevant to somebody else.
Yeah.
So when you make a blanket statement about relevance, you have to kind of qualify what you mean. You know, 21 Savage, I know, like, one 21 Savage song. He's not relevant to me. You know what I mean? But that doesn't mean he doesn't have his fan base and people he's relevant to.
Yeah.
So when you make a blanket statement like that, like, Nas is not relevant, he just got a fan base, it's kind of like, well, he might not be relevant to you, but it goes to the underground artists. I can name underground artists from my city that, you know, like, that people might not know, but they're relevant to me. You know what I mean?
So yeah,
yeah, that's why I don't really like that word, that relevant word for hip hop.
Yeah, no, I feel that. You make a really good point. And speaking of where you're from, Isle Moss was wanting to have you tell the people where are you from originally, and where are you now? Or is it the same?
Columbia, South Carolina. It's the same. 803.
Oh, right on. Yeah, there you go.
Columbia, that's where my grandma from, man.
Oh yeah,
South Carolina.
Ah, that's nice.
That's
A lot of people don't realize, if you are an African American person, you got some history from South Carolina. You know what I mean? It's just that's just the facts.
Yeah, totally. All right, before we move on off of Nas and 21 Savage, Marcus chimed in again saying 21 Savage better hope he has a career as long as Nas has been in the game. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, 30 plus years.
Yeah.
21 Savage has been in a couple, you know, in comparison. Yeah. So, but I like what you're saying about relevance, because to the majority of the world, Nas is not relevant to the majority of people in the world. But that goes with almost every artist in the world, you know, unless you're like one of these, like, crazy artists that, like, everyone in the whole world knows you.
Unless you like Michael Jackson, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not going to be relevant.
I mean, there's some Bollywood actor that, like, a billion people know, and they're not relevant to me, you know? So I like you have to qualify that word relevance, I think, like you said. Yeah. So that's a really good point. Really good point. All right. Before we head into, I want to tell all the listeners, tuning in on Facebook and YouTube, if you have any issues in your life, all right, you got spousal issues, girlfriend, boyfriend issues with your kids, whatever. If you have any questions for Jirai, he's going to be dropping some jewels tonight. He is an expert specialist in dropping jewels. So you can ask any question you want in the comments. I already screened some questions, but if you have more questions, just put them in the comments below and we'll get to them. Before that, I just wanted to ask you, you know, I think you are really good as a writer, and, like, you come up with, like, good ideas, and very, like I said, very positive, which I really appreciate. Who inspired, like, when you sit down to write, where do you find inspiration, or does it just come, just, like, naturally, just comes?
Well, it's funny you ask, because, you know, when I was a kid, and, you know, you go to school, everybody asks you what you want to be, and you grow up. I always wanted to be a writer. That was the first thing I said. I always wanted to be a writer, so. Good writing inspires me. When I'm making my songs, just it's the concepts, wanting to be able to tell a story.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of inspiration from what happens to me or what I'm around, and wanting to be able to creatively tell my story. And I listen to a lot of hip hop, but I also listen to, like, a lot of gospel, a lot of jazz, and I just try to go off what I'm feeling in the moment.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah. I get inspiration from everywhere.
Do you? That's dope. When you listen to jazz, I know some people talk about jazz as if there are lyrics in some. Mm-hmm. A lot of jazz doesn't have lyrics, and that's right. The jazz I'm talking about. But people talk about how like jazz musicians will like tell a story through, you know, through their music. Do you hear stories when you listen to jazz?
Yeah, like my favorite jazz record is Miles Davis, It Never Entered My Mind. Mm. And so the reason is that might be my favorite song in general, because every time I hear that record, it sounds like how I feel. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what I think jazz gives me. Even though it doesn't have words, the jazz artists find a way with their instrumentation to tap into a feeling or an emotion. And so when I'm writing, I try to do the same thing with my writing. But that's why I love jazz, because you can know what the artist who's making the music was feeling by the way they play the keys, or by the way they drum, or by the way that they blow the horn.
Yeah.
And it's especially with Miles, because Miles' studio recordings and his live recordings, it can be the same song, but it can feel totally different. Mm. And I love that about jazz.
That's dope. And can you name, what's the name of that song again?
It Never Entered My Mind. I just found out recently that song has words. Like it's versions of that song with lyrics. Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful love song about a guy talking to his lady and saying it never entered his mind that they wouldn't be together.
Okay.
But it's a beautiful, beautiful record.
Dope. Would you say it's your favorite jazz song?
Yeah, it's my favorite jazz.
Okay,
song,
I think you said
It's got to be the right version though, because some versions Miles used to come on stage intoxicated, so some of the versions don't sound like.
Speaking of favorites, Iomas Morai wanted to know what's your favorite gospel singer or favorite gospel group?
The Whiners.
The Whiners. Okay.
Whiners. All of them. Well, especially Marvin, but the Whiners. They had a. Interesting story about the Whiners. Before I could listen to hip hop, the first rap besides Ghetto Boys Mind Playing Tricks on me that they used to play in school all the time. The first rap I heard was on a song called Time to Make a Change by the Whiners, produced by Teddy Riley, and Teddy Riley's rhyming on the song. That was the first time I heard rap. And I was like, yo, this is crazy. Yeah.
It's dope. That's dope.
Yeah, I love the Whiners.
Right on. Before we move forward, bring in a few more voices here. Marcus chimes back in. The Antidote by Ronnie Jordan is a great jazz record.
I'm going to check that one.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard that album. I've heard some Ronnie Jordan stuff, but I don't think that one. I like this comment by Pecan Tan Williams.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of jazz, classical music, telling a story with no words, just music, harmony, etc. I like that.
That's my sister right there.
And the other Marcus, the one you see on the screen, Iomas Marcus, says Marvin doctor. Is dope.
Doctor Marcus.
Dr. Marcus. There we go. Okay, so now we're going to have some fun. Iomas and Profound, you can also chime in with questions. You can chime in with your questions. Here, let me get it up on the screen here. This is called Jules with Jirai. Comment your questions below. Sorry about that. All right, so I did screen some. All right. The first question is from a rapper named John Doe, and he said, I want to start rhyming and creating songs and performing, but I don't know where to start. What should I do?
Just write. Find your favorite artist, your favorite artist that you love to listen to. Listen to their music and try to write in a way that you will fit in on the track with them. So like if you like, because we're talking about Nas, if you like Nas, find your favorite Nas song, whatever concept he's doing in the song, you write to that concept and just keep practicing until you feel like if Nas called you for a feature on this record, you have something that you feel like might could fit. And just keep doing that. Just keep doing that until you can find your own voice and find your own style and then go from there. But it's a lot of writing. Just write about anything and everything.
Oh, I like it. All right. This one's a little more intense, and apparently it's happening now. So he needs like real world advice on what to do. He says, my girl and I have been going through a lot lately, and haven't spent quality time together. So we were going to go out tonight. I had an entire night all set up and ready to go for after she gets off work. However, 2 minutes ago, this has just happened. This is fresh. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes ago, J-Ru the Damager came by and said he wanted to kick it with me tonight out of the blue. I've never met him. What do I do? Jax. Signed, Jax.
So he never met J-Ru.
But he's a big fan. I mean, it's J-Ru the Damager.
He's a huge fan.
All of a sudden, he just pops out of the blue.
You better spend time with your girl.
Okay, tell J-Ru I got it. Okay, all right.
Tell your girl part of the evening that I have planned for you is to kick it with this famous rapper, J-Ru the Damager. Because I love J-Ru, but J-Ru's a one-time thing. Your lady's gonna be there forever, so you know you might get to see J-Ru again. But make That's it right. blend. You better make it blend.
Make it blend. All right, Derek. I like that. Make it blend, Jax. Make it blend. Yeah. All right. This next one is kind of unbelievable, but this is true. We actually have these real comments that people are coming in. This next one comes from someone I think we all know. We've talked about him. He says, I'm a seasoned MC from New York City named Nas. You might have heard of me. I've been doing all these albums with Hit-Boy, but I'm thinking about doing an album with DJ Premier. However, Pete Rock and I worked out our disagreement, and now he wants to do an album with me. I can't do both for the purpose of this question, so should I do an album with DJ Premier or Pete Rock? Sincerely, Nasir Jones. What advice do you have for Nas?
Do the Primo record first.
Premier, okay. Go with Premier.
Do the Primo record first and make people wait for the Pete Rock record because they might not know that y'all squashed the tax issue, but him suing you for the, they might not know that.
There you go.
So do the Primo record first, and then like Nas always does, drop a little jewel in the Primo record about the next one being Pete, and then,
Do you think he'll do it? Do you think he'll do a Premier album?
They've been kind of hinting at it for years, so I think he will. I wonder if the issue is Primo or Nas in that instance. Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know who's the one that's holding up the thing.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, I don't know the in and outs of Pete Rock and Nas, but apparently Pete Rock's lawyer maybe was trying to get, felt like Pete Rock wasn't getting the right amount of money off of The World Is Yours, off of Illmatic. And so I don't know if Pete Rock's camp officially sued to get that money or what, but there's something there. So I don't know the ins and outs. And Nas didn't, I don't feel like Nas dissed Pete Rock.
Nah, he didn't diss him.
He had a line on the new album that said, why is Pete Rock acting like that? It's stuff like that that makes me want to give rap back or something like that. I didn't think it was much of a diss. It was more of a like, what are you doing, Pete Rock? Like, I'm not, you know, almost like he was hurt by it. But some people took it as a diss, I guess. I don't know.
It wasn't a diss, man.
I didn't think it was a diss either.
Pete Rock done had some issues with some rappers lately. I don't really know what's going on.
It's true. That is true. So, yeah. And Profound said, I remember that album, most of the publishing went to Searchlight, MC Search. Yep. And Nas had a line about that too, I thought, on the new album. I think Nas had a line about that where he was.
He did mention Search.
And he mentioned Search in a very positive light. So I was like, all right, love is love. It's all good. All right, last question. And this one is an actual real question. All right, I hyped up.
Okay.
But this one is actually real. I was talking to my daughter tonight, and she's in sixth grade. And nice. I was telling her about this idea. Because we were listening to your album in the car, and I was telling her about this idea about Jules with Jirai, and she said, this was basically her question. I paraphrased it, but she said, and I made it present tense. I'm currently playing dodgeball, and this kid keeps aiming for my face. When he hits me, he says that I'm out, but face hits don't count. And these are rules. I'm really angry, and I feel like punching this boy in the face. And this happened earlier tonight. What should I do?
Punch him in the face.
My daughter, Zoe.
Your daughter's name is Zoe. My daughter's name is Zoe.
Oh, word. That's dope.
Yeah. She's in the seventh grade. But, okay. Man, listen. punch him in the face,
man. Yeah, punch. Thank you.
No, she's gonna watch this tomorrow, man. I'll tell her don't punch him in the face.
Or if you don't want to punch him in the face and face hits don't count, then hit him in the face with a dodge bar.
Oh, okay.
That you can keep doing over and over. Yeah.
Fight fire with fire. Okay.
Fight all fire right. with fire.
Yeah. Punch him in the face when ain't nobody looking.
Zoe, don't take their advice. Zoe, don't take their advice.
Don't do it.
Hey, tell them you got some uncles that'll come up there though. That's right. What you do.
For real.
Yeah.
Well, she.
Nah,
yeah.
That's. I'm the wrong person to ask that question. My football days were treacherous.
Oh, okay. Right. Wait, did you play in high school, college?
I played in high school. Yeah, I played in high school.
All right.
Yeah, I was a fight fire with fire type of guy.
Okay. All right. Right on. All right. A few questions here online. Brian Williams wanted to know about our favorite beat makers. So if you had to pick maybe one or two or three of your favorite beat makers, who would you pick?
Dilla first. Then probably Pete Rock. Pete Rock and Premier go back and forth. But if I'm making songs, I want to go with Pete Rock. Just because of how he structures his beats, his arrangements, I think.
Yeah.
Edge, Premier out a little bit. And Ninth Wonder, man.
Okay. Yeah. I know you're a big Ninth Wonder fan. That's tough.
I love Ninth.
Yeah. All right. That's a great combination. Profound. Yeah. Who are some of your favorites?
Keep it the family,
man.
That's right.
I think, man. Hey, Gerard. Just so you know, we side eye anybody that don't say Dilla.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Anybody that does not say Dilla, I don't care who you say Dilla better be in there. Have to be
for sure. Yeah.
Me, Dilla. No ID.
Yeah.
Doug Infinite. Primo and Large Professor.
That's a good one too.
That's
a chisel for Large Pro.
That's a good one. That's a real good one. I would have to. Dilla's my favorite. Yeah, Dilla's definitely number one for me. I love Dilla. I would say Pete Rock and DJ Premier, kind of right there, tied for sure. Mm-hmm. After that, man, I feel like a lot of producers kind of come in at that like four spot for me, you know.
Right.
Like I love Eric Sermon stuff all throughout the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
He was so good. Knots, dude. Knots, that dude, man. You know, being in Cincinnati, High Tech, I feel like is a phenomenal producer. Questlove, I love whenever Questlove has his hands on anything. So yeah, and I hate doing this because I always leave somebody out. Like, oh yeah, I love that producer, you know. And you know, kind of like when Profound was like, we side eye anyone that doesn't say, you know, Dilla. In these conversations now, I'm like, I always have to say Marley Marl now, because even though he's not probably my top five as far as like favorite, he was just so instrumental, you know, to all my favorites. You know, if it wasn't for him and his style, like so. Gotta shout out him for sure. Cool. Next question here is from Pecan Tan. Says, do you think that other styles of writing help you develop your style, like poetry or short stories? Good question.
I started off writing poems.
Okay.
I actually had a poem published when I was like in the third grade. That was a pretty big thing. Before my mom, really. I didn't realize what was going on. But and I started writing short stories, like short novels. I would get composition books and fill up the composition books with a novel. And so the different forms of writing, I love writing. I love reading good books, and I write my rhymes like an author probably writes books. So that's kind of my approach to it.
Yeah, that's really dope. That's really dope, man. Cool. All right. Last question before we roll into your album and talk about that. Marcus is wondering about your top five records. Do you think can you come up with a top five favorite albums? No, albums.
Albums?
Yeah. That's how I read it. Like your top five albums.
Are we talking hip hop or are we just talking in general?
Well, let's say in general. I'll be very curious to know in general.
Man,
what are some albums that are up there for you?
Off the Wall, Michael Jackson. Off the Wall. Okay, I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan.
Okay,
I think Off the Wall gets a slight edge over Thriller for me just because of the soulfulness. I mean, Michael's crying on the end of one of the songs. You can't. And I think that joint was written by Stevie Wonder, that song. So,
oh, that's dope.
Off the Wall is up there. The Whiner's Return is up there just because that was one of the first albums that just started my soiree into being in the music.
Yeah.
Fantastic Volume 2, Slum Village.
Yes. Heck yeah.
Outkast, Aquemini.
Oh yes.
And for the last one, Kinda Blue, Miles Davis. Kinda Blue.
All right. Right on. Yeah. Dope. That's a dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. Okay. Cool. Well, let's get into an album. Talking about albums, let's get into your album. Came out this year. It's For the Soul. And how you feel about it? Like, how's the reaction been? You put it out in July, is that right?
Yeah, put it out in July. The reaction's been really good. We're getting a lot of love and support. I did the album with my homie DJ Ambush. He produced the whole record. So, me and him got together and collaborated and put out a good album. It's my first album.
Okay.
In since 2017. Okay. So, So I like it. It's a good opportunity for me to tell my story and to tell the story of people who kind of like me. So, yeah, that don't happen too often.
Yeah. So what would you, that's really interesting. What would you say for someone that has not heard the album, what would you say is that story? Like if you could just like paraphrase the story of you and that album, what would you say?
This album is about the idea that even if you feel like you come from nowhere, nobody's paying attention to you, no one knows who you are, that you still have value. And what you still have value because the soul that you have that allows you to function and move around in the world has value. So even the mundane things, the ordinary things that you feel like are not important become important when you realize that, you know, you're connected to all of these other people. And even though you might feel like you're not from anywhere in particular or anywhere important, you're still seen, you're still heard, and your story deserves to still be told. So I'm always writing from that bent because, you know, I'm from Columbia, South Carolina, where we don't really have a national hip hop platform or anything like that. Most people, when I say this is where I'm from, they like, where's that? You from where?
right.
You know, you can really feel like you're from nowhere. And that's why the first song on the album is called Nowhere. It's just talking nowhere. About being from that place.
Yeah. Dope. Can you break down Kitchen Table Conversations?
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's my favorite song on the album. Kitchen Table Conversations.
I think it's my favorite too. Like, can you tell the people about that song, what it's about, and like how you came to write that song?
Okay, so I'm from the South. I call my state Columbia. I call my state South Carolina, the city Columbia, the cornerstone of the South, because of where we are on the map and because of most of what people think about the South had its start from my state. Yeah. So one of the things we do in the South in our African American culture is we go to mom's crib on Sunday. And we had dinner, you know what I mean? We had Sunday dinner as a family. And that was a big part of our life growing up, from my grandmother, from my great grandmother, all of us eating together on Sundays. So the conversations around that kitchen table can get intense, especially when you're coming from your mother. So she's going to give you, my mother in particular, she's going to keep it real with you. She's going to give you the real. She's not going to pull any punches. She's going to say the hard things that she has to say, but those hard things are also laced in love. So I kind of wrote the verse based off a real conversation that me and my mom had on Sunday. You know what I mean? So that's where the song come from. And I have featured on there my homie T Nice, one of my music partners who he lost his mother. So it was just a good opportunity for him to speak from the perspective of, you know, my mother's not here anymore, but I remember the conversations I used to have with her. And I actually have on the chorus doing a poem is my wife. She wrote a poem and she's speaking from the perspective of what a mother would be saying to her kids. So
yeah.
Oh, and the end of the song, my mom is actually talking to me on the phone.
Okay, I assumed yeah, that was your mom.
Yeah, that's my mom. I had to put her in there. She didn't know she was gonna be on the song.
What'd she think when she heard it?
When she first heard it, she didn't realize it was her. She was like, "Who's that?" And I was like, "Listen," she was like, "Oh, that's me." And then she started laughing. So yeah,
that's great.
I tried to get her on the song and she said she didn't want to do it. And I was like convincing her, and she was like, "Well, if you want to get me on her, you have to trick me." So I tricked her.
That's great, man. That's great. I know, Profan, I know you were bumping the album. Anything stick out to you or anything you want to ask about?
Yeah, I actually want to ask something that probably will lead us into another part of a discussion on the song Nowhere.
Yes, sir.
So I've been challenging myself to be a lot more free when I listen to music.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning to be not as critical as I normally would be. You know what I mean? Like with a pen and a pad, sometimes just listen. So I didn't have a pad when I was listening to your album, and you said something that just caught me. I was like, hold on a minute. Let me go back.
Okay.
So it's the choose my words very carefully. I mean, just what I say.
Yeah.
That piece. Okay. I got to thinking about what everybody has been listening to lately with Ye and Kyrie Irving.
Oh yeah.
And my question is, I know the answer, but I'm putting this out there in the atmosphere for everybody who may not know the answer from you, because I'm posing it to you, but general to the table. Do you feel a sense of responsibility with your lyrical content? And what I mean by that is, like, do you feel? I know there was a time when I was younger where I might not have cared as much about what I was saying, who it might have affected. Let me say that, who it might have affected, like I do now. Like I'll throw things away now, like, yeah, I can't say that. Or it's just not smart to say that. So I just want to know, what's your perspective? Like, do you feel still a sense of responsibility as an MC, and as, you know, when you record and what come out your mouth and what comes on record?
Yeah. I choose my words very carefully. I mean, just what I say. Like, that's a mantra that I live by, because I got that from my dad. And one thing he always raised us on was, you're going to have to be accountable for your words one way or another. You know, somebody else is going to hold you accountable. God is going to hold you accountable, or you're going to be in a situation where you have to be accountable for what you say. So if you can't stand on what you say, then you probably shouldn't be saying it. And so when I'm writing my rhymes, I definitely keep that in mind, because I'm mindful of who's going to be listening. And can I stand up in front of whoever approaches me about what I say and feel a sense of honor and pride and respect and say, yeah, I really, really did mean that. You know, and it's a tough spot to be in sometimes, because, like, I know we're talking about the Kyrie and the Kanye thing, and I think a lot of the issues that Kanye in particular, not necessarily Kyrie, because I think he's generally pretty well thought out in his statements, but I think especially with Kanye, I mean, you have to take time to be mindful of what you're saying, because it has ramifications. And even if you're not Kanye on such a big scale, your words have ramifications. My daughters listen to my music. My father and my mother listen to my music. It's people from my neighborhood. It's people that I grew up around that know me in real life. And so if I'm saying something that, when we have a conversation, they'd be like, "Well, it's different when I'm with you," then it's not real. And so that's that's what I'm really, really mindful of. That's why it's true life. Like, it's really my thoughts, really my feelings. And it's, I'm a thinker. So it's very well thought out. So I try to be responsible with that.
Yeah.
Great. Till and Io, come on, man. That's for y'all too. That question to y'all too. I know you, you know, we all like-minded. So I know, you know, I do know the answer, but I just like to pose it out there into the atmosphere, into the universe, man. Like, are we being responsible with what we say? Are we being responsible with our content? And not necessarily directed at Kyrie, because I understand that, brother. I know what he's going through. I know exactly what's going on in that situation. But like you said, Gerard, with Ye, it's a different situation. And me and Io know that, brother. You know, so you know, it's one of those things where it's like you be mindful what you put out in the universe, because it'll come back to you. You know what I mean? Be mindful of the energy that you put out as well, and be responsible with your energy as well as you being responsible with your words. And I just think today seemed like, you know, we done lost that. It's like humanity is gone and all of that. And it's like, we don't care. We don't want to be responsible anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like we the superheroes. We got to keep our capes on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's well said. Well said.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you, Amos. Go ahead.
Is it delayed?
Nope. I don't think so. It sounds all right. Yeah.
All right, cool. But to Profound's point and to Gerard's point, I agree definitely. When I'm putting pen to pad, I'm definitely mindful of what I say. And I think for me, sometimes you want to push the envelope, but even though, like, it's certain things. Like, me and my wife was just having a conversation earlier today. She listens to this guy named Jason Whitlock. I don't know if you heard of him on YouTube, whatever. That he was just basically saying that we were talking about, like, Black death, how Black people's death is not really newsworthy, and it's profitable. It's profitable. You know what I'm saying, for Black death. So in my rhymes, like, I want to kind of come at cats that's shooting and killing in their music. But at the same time, I have to be, how can I do it where it's in a way where, like Gerard said, I could stand on it. Like, if it ever came back to me, I could be like, you know, yo, this is how I stand on it. So definitely takes responsibility, and I definitely think it's around you that you could be like, man, I did this song and I'm not sure about it, to listen to it and tell me what you think. And then they could be like, yeah, I don't think you should say that, or say it in a different way. So, and I think that, to Kanye's point, I think he don't have people in his camp that'd be like, bro, you shouldn't have said that. That you should say it in a way where it's like more digestible, you're saying, instead of ranting. But he don't have people in his team like that. Bro, that was dumb what you said, bro. Or the way you said it, that's hurtful, that's harmful. So yeah, I definitely try to take responsibility when I'm putting pen in the pad. Even if you trying to be controversial, or not trying to be controversial, you touching on a controversial topic, you still got to be mindful of how you approach that. That's what I would say.
Yeah
Dope. Yep.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, I don't know why, like, I don't know why an artist would not want to have a positive impact, you know. But you know, people, you know, there's billions of people have different views, so you know.
But to It's not profitable to be positive. You see,
well, what I mean, I'm
saying, like,
I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of artists that have a more positive message, and they do well.
True.
So I don't know.
And the thing for me is, it's not always positive. It's just, we were raised on accountability.
Yeah.
So if you're saying something, Like, so it's another line on another song on the album called What You Know. And the line is, what you know about saying just what you mean, but what do you know about meaning it when you're seen? So you can, it's easy to say something, but it's harder when somebody is calling you to the carpet to be accountable for what you say. Even if it's negative, you have to be accountable. And I think a lot of times people feel like, especially in this modern era, that you don't have to be accountable for what you're saying. You can just say whatever. And the thing with Kanye is he gets in situations where in private, he might just spew his thoughts and say whatever, and then he can marshal it later. But when you're on public platforms, you can't just do that. You have to be articulate, and you have to be purposeful of what you're saying. Even if it's a negative thing, it's like, all right, so are you going to be willing to stand on that? And so that's kind of what we were raised on. So, you know.
Yeah, it's a good point. And accountability is a good point, too, because what I realized, I don't know where I was, but there was a line that someone said in a record, and I remember thinking, like, oh, my goodness, what would their mom think if they heard that line? But then I remember the mom was like, and someone was like, it was in Clubhouse, and they were talking about some artist, and the person was like, no, mom's cool. Mom would be cool with that. And I think that is like the accountability. Like if your own family is like, yeah, no, you can say whatever. You can say these things that are just like very degrading towards women. You can, you know, shoot as many people as you want, like without, you know, just recklessly. If your family's like, oh yeah, that's cool, go ahead, say that. Like, there is no accountability. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of where it falls. And people have, and also people have different, you know, like I said, people have different views on it. You know, so
that's the interesting thing about hip hop for me. When I first got into hip hop, and this might have been ignorantly, but I believe that people were really who they were saying in records.
You ain't the only one. So
we believe it. So like I might not, and it kind of goes back to the relevance thing too. Like I love Mobb Deep, right? I might not can really relate to the lifestyle that Mobb Deep lives, but as an artist and person who creates art, their job is to pull you into their world and like show you that this is who they are. So if this is really like when Prodigy says punch in your face and cut your brain with your nose bone, if that's really what Prodigy would do when you meet him and you see, oh, like it's not far-fetched, like he's really that type of person, then I don't have an issue with it. I just have an issue when it's like, okay, you said this, but now when I meet you, like you a totally different person. Like it's, that was something that I had to get used to in hip hop. Like, oh, these guys aren't really like that. You know what I mean? They just talking that way.
Do you think that, because I often hear the argument or the point of like, well, you wouldn't hold actors to that same standard when you're portraying an image in Hollywood or on a TV show, you're acting. What would you say to that? How would you, you know, respond to that?
The difference is everybody knows they're acting. You know what I mean? Everybody knows. When you go see Denzel in Training Day, you know he's playing a character. The whole premise of the acting world and the entertainment world on that side is to portray characters. Sometimes the characters are based on real people. Sometimes they're not. They're made up. With hip hop, that's unique. And I think it goes back to the origin of what hip hop is and how it started. It's supposed to be a reflection of who the artists are that are creating the music. It was literally an art form that was birthed out of nothing. Like, and these people didn't have a voice. So now they're giving their voice to the world. And so initially the whole idea was, oh, we don't know what's going on in the Bronx and this bomb now. We don't know the experiences of these people. Oh, so they create a culture and an art form that reflects their experiences. But when money and stuff comes in, then it becomes entertainment. It's different from something initially being entertainment and something being entertaining. You know what I mean? So that's the difference for me. Like, I don't expect Denzel to be the dude from Training Day. I expect Denzel to be Denzel. You know what I mean?
That's what I was going to say, Gerard. Like, when you leave the movie theater, you expecting Denzel to be Denzel. You ain't expecting him to be on some King Kong. You bump into him on the street. Come on, man.
So, I want to...
And I was just going to say, like, hip-hop, man, like, and that's why... That's why, like, you know, shout out to our Native Tongues book. I think Native Tongue represented. Yeah. Like, it's cool. It was like, to me, when I'm listening to, like, Tribe and De La and Moni Love and all of them, they were, that it was okay for me to just be me. Mark, it's okay for Marcus to be, if you didn't just play basketball occasionally and like, collect the cool, that's who you are. That's who you are. You don't have to be something that you're not. So and I've tried to do that, and like, you know what I'm saying,
never work
trying to be something that situation where people, like Gerard said, people go call you on that, like what you posing, you know what I'm saying? So it's just better just to be yourself, and that's what hip hop, my idea of hip hop. And I may be thinking from seeing it from a utopia, but that's how I was raised. That was the culture that I was raised in.
Well, I want to bring, thank you for that. I do want to bring in a few comments. Going back to when we were talking about the first question you asked Profound about, are we responsible for our lyrics? Marcus chimed in again, said Guru said it best, every action has a reaction. And Brian Williams, I like this comment. He said Rick Ross should be watching this. I think that was right around where we were talking about being accountable, you know, for what you say. Someone mentioned Jason Whitlock, and Marcus said Jason Whitlock is an idiot. Some of the stuff he says.
Man, he'd be wilder, bro. He'd be wilder.
Our friend Pecan Tan said you have to stand on it, meaning like whatever you say, you got to stand on that. Marcus, he's got the greatest comments. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one. True. Pecan Tan also said, I think that with music, people can be who they want. They can take aspects of their lives and experiences or character traits that they lack and put them in music. You do have people who think actors are who they are on screen. The whole world hated Tariq St. Patrick. I don't know that reference, but
it's on Power.
Okay. All right, there you go. Right on. Yeah. So true. So thank you for those comments. We really appreciate them. And you know,
but
what's that, Iomas?
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, don't you think, like, and I'm not gonna say the artist's name, but y'all probably pick it up. But I'm saying, and I just feel like that's the problem with our community. And just to go back to what he was saying, that he feel like I think he made a statement. I'm paraphrasing. Police wouldn't shoot black men if we, as black people, valued, you know what I mean? And so it's like, if we putting out music, when we talk about Kiss, I love the Locks, but when during that battle, I'm up, what'd he say? I'm up in a condo looking at the city, I'm high up, I could get your bucks. I'm just like, that just didn't set right with me. Like, my worth ain't more than $5. Like, you get my brain blown out for $5, bro. Like, it's like, I just cringed when I heard that. Like, yo, for real? Like, dude, like if you love an artist like that, how do we as a community be vulnerable? Or do we just let it ride? You know what I mean?
I've been thinking about this, man. And Gerard, I would love to hear your thoughts, too. I've been thinking about, like, you know, everyone's accountable, right, to what people do, and there's different levels of accountability. So, like, if you have lots of power, you have more accountability, right? If you don't have much, you know, like, if you're in charge of things, you have more accountability than someone that is not in charge of things. So anyway, I feel like, okay, if we have some power in this hip hop space, you know, we have some control here and just the little things that we do, like, well, how can we push the needle further? And so I've been thinking about, like, what are some ways in which we can encourage artists to put out an album that, you know, doesn't have any gun talk on it, has no violent, no violent metaphors, like a very, you know, life album, you know, like lyrics, lyrics about life, you know, and can we put out like TikTok challenges and like really encourage artists, just like you see, you know, all these other dumb, stupid, you know, TikTok challenges and like all these things that are like superficial or like around money or whatever, like, can we push the needle forward with life and, you know, and be the thing we want, you know, like we want more music like this. We want more music that honors life, honors the divinity in all of us. Like, how can we push for that, you know, and make it persuade people to do it without, you know, obviously I'm not for censorship or like people can do whatever they want, you know, with their art, but like, we know what we want. So how can we push that forward? So yeah, Jerai, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's important to support that type of music. I mean, that's pretty much the type of music that I make, just because that's the type of lifestyle that I live. So I think when we were talking earlier about what we do on social media, I mean, I try to promote those things that I like. And I also know there's other things out there that do promote negative things and violence toward each other and stuff like that. The only pushback I would have is, I think, and this just might be me being cynical, but like, I think we do value each other. We do value each other on a massive scale. Mm-hmm. I don't think the fact that there are instances where we have violence towards each other, that's going to stop like police brutality. You know what I mean? Because the thing that stops that is how an individual views you. So no matter how you treat each other, if they still view you as less, then they're still going to treat you that way. But I do think the valid point is we do need more unity. We do need more togetherness. And we do need to have groups, sort of like what we do here, sort of like what the Boom Bop Chat does and what you guys do all the time, is to promote the type of music that will push the needle forward, that is sort of like the antithesis to the other things. But it's a hard road because, you know, you're not going to have the major label backing and the marketing budget and all of these things. So you just got to do it on an individual person-to-person level.
Yeah, true.
Right, each on. One teach one.
Each one teach one.
Absolutely.
That's right.
I think the deepest point, too, is like you don't have one without the other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you don't have good without evil. You know, you don't have God without the devil. Like you don't have the positive hip-hop without the negative, like that, you know what I'm saying? Like it's gonna be there, but is the playing field gonna be level?
That's all we're talking about.
Like, make the playing field level, then you know what I mean? Because at one point it was level, and actually it was tilted a little bit because you know, you were hearing positive hip hop more than you were hearing, you know, the negative aspect of it. And then, I think too, when we talk about gunplay, you know, in the music, we're not necessarily talking about the mention of guns. We talking about the MCs who that's their punchline, is what they would do with the gun. It's not that's totally different than telling a story that involves you being visual about what you saw. You know what I mean? So I agree. Sure. I just think that what we do, Jerai, I agree, we got to keep doing what we do. We build with brothers like yourself. And I owe you is each one teach one. And it just that's infectious. You know, because when this started, it was just Till, and then look what it grew to. And you know what I'm saying? Like that's how it goes. And you know, and we didn't know each other, Jerai, not too long ago. And then now look,
not too long ago.
You know what I'm saying? It's just unfortunate that it's not as much of a spotlight, and we have to seem to work harder than we would have in the past.
Right.
And I just been thinking, like you just struck a nerve for me when you said the level, the plan. And I think that's up to us, you know what I'm saying? Like collective action, like moving as a conglomerate, you know what I mean? Instead of moving in silos, like find an artist that's like, yo, these are our standards, to statement. This is what we trying to do with our art. If you with that, let's collectively push each other's art and support each other. And like, absolutely. You know what I mean? On this silo thing, like, instead of like talking about it, let's be about it. Like
be, you know, about it, yeah.
Somebody to level the playing field. We got the power to do. We like pushing, like if it's Gerard's turn, we pushing his stuff. If it's if other artists that want to get down with what we doing, we push them. Like, yo, this is what we about. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We about living.
Yeah.
We ain't trying to die. We want to give us time to live on this earth.
Yeah.
We family, man, with kids, and but we dope MCs at the same time. And this is some music there. You know what I mean? So definitely. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're good. And on that tip of, you know, promoting others, my man, Marcus chimed in again, said Fillmore Green has a lot of positivity in it. If you don't know Fillmore Green, you should know him. He's a dope MC, and he just did an album with Apollo Brown. Yeah, he's out of Chicago. And he did an album with Apollo Brown called Cost of Living, came out this past Tuesday. It is one of the best albums out, so super dope. Mm-hmm. So support that, bringing it full circle. Also, make sure you support our guest tonight, Jirai, and his new album, For the Soul. It's on streaming platforms, but we always encourage you, go to the Bandcamp, search Jirai. It's J-O-R-A-I. There you go. Yep. Go to the Bandcamp. Just type in Jirai Bandcamp. Yep. It'll pop up. And his album is For the Soul. And go buy it. Go get it. All right. Go get
support,
it.
Support.
Brian Williams said, so I can't listen to Thug Motivation 101 no more.
What is?
What's the album by?
By Jeezy.
You can listen to it. You can listen to it, Brian, man. Like, it's not. It's not that you can't. We just don't want that to be the only thing that everybody is listening to.
Yeah, like and going back to the level playing field, you know, like if you think about, like, if you listen. If you were fortunate to have a radio station where you lived in like 88, Brian said, I'm just joking. But if you were fortunate to have a radio station where you lived in like 88, 89, 90, like you would hear a lot, it would be lean more positive, but you also would hear Ghetto Boys, NWA, Too Short. So like, I'm never saying we shouldn't have all the voices at the table. Yeah. We need a voice, even if I disagree with what you're saying, like you need to be there, you know? Mm-hmm. But your voice doesn't need to be times 100 if it's negative, and the positive voice is times 3.
Right.
You know, that's just that's not balance right there. We need to get back to balance, in my opinion. So, all right. One last comment, Pecan Tan Williams. I hope I'm saying your name right. I love that name, Pecan Tan. Keep spreading the positivity. Music is a universal language. That platform could be powerful. Yeah, I think that's to what you were saying, Ayamas. Like, you know, kind of. Being a conglomerate. So, all right, y'all, make sure you get that album For the Soul, by Jirai on Bandcamp.
DJ Ambush, baby.
Yes, DJ Ambush on the beats. Before we go, we got to do one word. This is the time. I think you know the drill.
I know the drill. Yeah,
you know the drill. All right, we got a few albums here. Ayamas, Profound. If you want to chime in, if you have a one word, if an album that our show just makes you want to chime in with your one word, let me know. But Jirai, we'll focus on you here. This is Still Standing by Goody Mob. One of my favorite inserts in album covers, man. I love this.
Oh, this man. Guy. One word, man.
Take your time.
Southern.
Okay.
Southern. Mm. Yeah. Goody Mob. That album and a Soul Food album, when I first heard it, it sounded like us. You know what I mean? It sounded like me, my cousins, you know what I mean, my friends. And it feels good to have representation at the time, have that kind of representation in the hip hop space. So I'll say Southern.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. Going up to the East Coast, We had our brother Jax he asked a question earlier about Jay with the damage. This is the sun rises in the east. One word.
Beats.
Yeah.
Beats.
DJ Premier, man.
Ooh-wee. Yeah, man.
He did it.
That's beats, a classic. I like that. But beats is the word. That's just beats. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Dope. All right. Sticking in New York City for a little bit. I know you like this album, and I'm so glad you do. This album, I'll just put it up there. This is Desire by Pharoah Monch.
I'm turning my camera off.
Soul.
Soul.
It was a soulful album. And yeah, man. Pharoah never misses.
Never.
He's not talked about enough at all.
I agree. And I feel like this album isn't talked about enough because it's a really great album. But for some reason, I feel like it doesn't get as much love as some of his other albums.
Listen, the trilogy on there. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you do that. Like, Pharoah Monch, one of my favorite MCs. Like,
He's the Moses of hip hop, man.
Man, yes, he is.
Super
Let
dope.
My people go, man. Come on, Pharoah.
Oh, man, real, bro.
We're gonna go back down towards your neck of the woods, back to the south with this is Layla's Wisdom by Rap City.
Ooh, man. Home. Yeah. She's got that song on there. The last track on there. I listened to that song on repeat for like 3 weeks straight. That one song.
Man.
And that's a classic album.
The song that gets me power. I think that's the joint with Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, the beat.
The second song. Like, you know, you got a dope album when like you can't get past the second song. It's I can't.
Man.
All right. Staying somewhat in that same camp, we got The Listening by Little Brother.
Man. One word for The Listening. Did I already say classic? Did I say classic?
No, you didn't say classic.
I'm gonna say classic.
Classic.
I'm gonna say classic. That
That
album, my best friend, Brenton Brown, we had a store here called Manifest Disc and Tapes. And he would always put me on to the new hip hop, like, go listen to this, go listen to that. And so he was like, go listen to this album by Little Brother called The Listening. And I was like, they're from North Carolina. I was like, okay, that's right up the road. All right, and I put it in. I couldn't believe it. Like, that's another one, like the Goody Mob thing. It sounds like us.
Yeah.
And at the time that the album came out, I was in a similar place in my life. The stuff they were talking about, making music and all of that. I was like, yo, this is crazy.
All right. So that was the one that set it off. And their last one, May the Lord Watch, came out not too long ago. So Brian Williams is curious, which one are you going with if you have to pick? May the Lord Watch or The Listening?
Man, I'm going to pick The Listening because it was the first one.
Yeah.
And The Listening has Ninth.
Yeah.
May the Lord Watch don't have Ninth. But they're both, like, and if I'm going to be honest, my favorite Little Brother album is The Minstrel Show. So,
okay.
Yeah, I love them. A lot of people don't talk about The Minstrel Show, but I like
that's a great album.
The satire and all that. And one of my favorite movies is Bamboozled. So it's a weird thing.
Yeah, I love Bamboozled. That's my favorite movie, bro.
Yeah, see?
All right, we're gonna end it where we started it. We're gonna go back to Goody Mob classic right here, Soul Food.
Soul Food. CeeLo.
CeeLo.
Yeah. That's all I'm gonna say. CeeLo. My goodness. CeeLo, man. With the singing, like that sound like us. You know what I mean? That sound, especially when they're talking about the things that was going on in Atlanta around the Olympic time and all of that. I wasn't in Atlanta at the time, but we used to travel back and forth because I have family there. And like I would listen to Gip Talk and the Sesame Street song and then Soul Food and all those things. Like you could go down the street in Atlanta and see exactly what they were talking about. You know what I mean? Even with the cell therapy record. And I like Red Dogs. I love that album.
Dude, the drums and the beat for Soul Food for that song, That's in my opinion, that's one of the best beats in hip hop, man.
Yeah, that Organized Noize, man. People don't talk about him enough either. Organized Noize.
No, they were so good. They were so good. The Serenity Prayer joint's dope on here. Dirty South.
Yeah, Dirty South, man.
Free is my joint, man. Cool, I can't get past that. Free.
Free,
song in the beginning.
Free. Yeah.
Man,
that's my that joint. Album out. Yeah.
That's almost to me like a gospel album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Facts.
That's dope. Yo, that thus concludes One Word. Thank you for playing. You successfully did One Word. You made it.
I made it, man.
The last thing we always do is shout outs. So we'll go around. Obviously, we'll give you the last shout outs of the night, Jorai. But we'll start with Iomas Marad tonight. Iomas, man, who do you want to shout out tonight?
Yeah, shout out my Boom Bap Chat brother. Shout out. You survived the football season, my brother. Glad to have you back. Feel me, Rye. Thank you for stopping by, man. Much respect. Man, I've been watching you on every time I see your video clips, I'm like, I love this dude. So I was super excited when you on tonight, man. So yeah,
shout out to you, man.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to South Carolina, birthplace of my grandmother. Rest in peace. And man, that's it for me, man. Much, man. For real.
Right on. Thanks, Iomas. Profan, who you want to shout out tonight?
Yo, man, the crew, of course, man. Good to be back. My whole crew, the Boom Bad Chat crew. Brother Jirai, brother, it's an honor, man. Thank you, man. I appreciate you coming through.
Thank you.
I sent you the track so you know what to do.
Yes,
sir. You do what you do. And then get back to me, and then I'll do what I do, and then we'll do that what we do, and we'll give it to the world, and let Io and Till do what they do, and then that's how we do it. But man, shout out to the kids, man. It's a lot of kids over here tonight. I don't know, they act like they ain't got school tomorrow, and I'm getting ready to go out here and play Papa Bear, and act like I'm a yell, but I'm a hand some cookies out to con some kids to go to bed.
That's dope. That's dope, man. So,
that's it, man.
Right on. Thank you. I want to give some shout outs, man. A lot of hip hop shout outs tonight. Joe November, who has been proofreading our Boom Bap Review Volume 4. I know he's been up late doing that. Thank you. Karen Exilis, who has also been helping us doing some proofreading. Appreciate you coming in to do that. Bo Brown, who's helping with the formatting, and I know he's having just a really busy week with all kinds of stuff and still fitting in some time to help us. And to a lot, man, so many dope albums that came out like just in the last 7 days. I mean, obviously Nas put out an album, but Homeboy Sandman put out an album that I think is just spectacular. Fillmore Green, that I mentioned earlier, has a really dope album out. Illogic, if you don't know that name, he's got a dope album out right now. So just a lot of, and these are all, you know, uplifting, positive, thought-provoking albums that I'm talking about. So support all that, please. And Castaway, a Chicago MC who put out a really dope album this year, who's going to be our guest in 2 weeks. So shout out to Castaway. And just shout out the dope hip-hop that, you know, is challenging us, challenging the listener to be better, to think better. And just, you know, just to be better people on this planet. And shout out finally to Jirai. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate, like I said, the way you move, the positivity in your music. Really, really appreciate that. And appreciate you taking some time to be with us tonight and let our followers and us in the room even get to know you and a little bit more. So thank you. Shout out to you. And with that, I hand it over to you for the final shout outs.
All right. I'm going to shout out DJ Ambush, produced the whole For the Soul album. Legendary producer from around the way, so it's an honor to be able to work with him. Shout out to my brother and sister in the chat talking crazy about Rick Ross. I want to shout out my wife, shout out my kids Zoe and Layla, who are in the bed, so they'll probably see this tomorrow, and everybody from the town, area code 803, Columbia, South Carolina, Broad River Road, all the dope MCs. If I start naming people, then somebody's gonna hit me like you didn't mention me. But shout out to all of y'all. We trying to put on for the city, trying to put on from where we from. I appreciate Profound, Iomas, MC Till.
Yeah.
I'm going to shout out MC Till because I think I got this right, but I think MC Till had a record with Braille or something back in the day.
Braille?
I think so.
I don't think I did a record with Braille.
You got a record with somebody.
K Drama, maybe.
Yes, K-Drama.
Scribbling Idiots, Cas Meta.
Yeah. I heard the first time I heard you was on the K Drama jump.
Oh wow, yes.
I had the K Drama mixtape. Yeah.
Shout
out to MC Till. Yeah,
that's
man.
Taking it way back, man.
Yeah, way back, man. I go back that far.
Go back. K-Drama. Thank you, man.
Yeah. Right, but I appreciate the boom back chat, man. All of y'all, let's keep this real hip hop alive, man.
Thank right
you.
On.
Oh
right
yeah, on. Riverside.
Thank you. Yeah, Riverside. Y'all are dope. Thank you for that comment, Pecan Town. All right. On that note, we say
peace.
There we go. See y'all next week. No, 2 weeks with Castaway. Go get that new album, Jirai, for the soul. Make sure you pre-order our new book, Boom Bap Review at boombapreview.com. All right. See y'all next time.